This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
The Fan on this Wednesday. Big show planned for you because it's Wednesday. We'll give you your NFL power rankings. Also going to get to a story on ESPN.com which listed every NFL coach in a category. Are you on the hot seat, a warm seat, a lukewarm seat, a cool seat, or a cold seat? You'll be surprised where they put Jay Gruden.
We'll ask surprised.
If you agree or disagree. There's an NFL coach who apparently hates his team's new stadium. We'll get into that in the 1 o'clock hour today, but we want to start with last night's news and notes, and in D.C. sports, nothing was bigger last evening than the performance of shooting guard Bradley Beal, who scored 51 points, a career best, just a legendary offensive night for him. 13-11 now, the Wizards, after a 14-point win in Portland. They were coming off of a disgraceful loss in Utah, where they lost by nearly 50 points. And it was very clear in his 43 minutes last night, Beal pouring in the 51, that he showed up in Portland hell-bent on winning a basketball game. And he was going to carry his teammates with him, sans John Wall. He shot 37 times. This was Kobe Bryant getting the basketball and going to work one-on-five kind of stuff. 21 of 37 from the floor, 5 of 12 from deep, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. He grabbed a total of 3 rebounds. He assisted all of 2 times. This was Bradley Beal, get ball, attack, shoot ball, score ball.
He was excellent last night, and it needed to be because his teammates were wretched, especially the starters. Markieff Morris, 2 for 10. By the way, so many of those games. Running a little thin, a little bit irritated at the Markieff Morris situation.
Otto last night missed 7 of 8 shots.
Porter had an off night, so that's going to happen, but he still found a way to help you.
Martin Gortat missed 5 of the 6 shots he took.
He certainly did, and Porter grabbed 10 rebounds and did a bunch of things. That's what he does. That's what good basketball players do. When Morris isn't shooting well, he just sort of disappears and trots around and waits for something else to happen.
There were 3 guys hitting shots last night for the Wizards. Beal? Bradley Beal, and then off the bench, Kelly Oubre and Mike Scott.
Mike Scott. Yeah, they were great. And Satoransky, again, he should be the backup point guard. When John Wall comes back, Satoransky should run the team off the bench. He's not really good, but he is what he is, and that's better than what Tim Frazier offers. I can't watch Tim Frazier get beat backdoor any more times without throwing something. But back to Beal. He was excellent. And this is what has to happen right now. This is what is needed. John Wall cannot help you. There are only a couple guys that can do takeover type moments. And Beal getting selfish last night, I don't say that in a negative way, this is what's needed. I need you to jack up 12 threes because you're great. You're a great scorer. He scored more points last night, Grant, than he had in his previous three games combined. That's needed at this stage of the game. He also should have had probably 5, 6, maybe even 7 assists. But again, guys are clunking jumpers that he provided them. He played the entire third quarter. He played the majority of the fourth quarter as well. 43 minutes plus, that's too much to ask on a regular basis, but you could tell they needed that win, and he needed it as well.
One-man wrecking crew. Here was a smattering of Beal's night via NBC Sports Washington and Steve Buckhead.
Portland comes off a loss to New Orleans Saturday, 123-116. Score the field goal, and what a play by Bradley Beal. He'll go to the line.
He's showing us everything tonight. I mean, showing us absolutely everything.
Rahimi tips it into the air. Mike Scott has it. Great job. Beal for the long three. How about Bradley? Bradley Beal, a new career high with 43 points.
And just steps right into it off the offensive rebound. A lot of times you get an open look at a three-point shot.
Knocked away, Oubre gets the steal. Here's Beal at the other end. Bradley Beal with 51 points in the game.
He was finishing at the rim and attacking the basket, which I loved. He's got a good mid-range game for a guy of his size. He can really operate in that 17 to 20 feet area as well.
Yep.
But he was hitting threes last night, scoring at every single level, kind of showed the versatility of his game. He got the max contract, correctly, by the way. He deserved the max contract based on the market. Is he worthy of the money he's paid? We could debate that. But there was no debating that he needed to get the max contract rather than moving on from him. Last night, he looked like a max player. John Wall's not there. You got to win solely because of his performance.
Your front court, non-center division, is 3-for-18 between Markieff Morris and Otto Porter. You have to have that. You have to have what you had last night. The bench comes in and does a great job. The majority of their wins of late, by the way, have been engineered by Satoransky, Oubre, and Mike Scott coming off the bench. Jan Mahimi is a human foul. I guess they're determined to use all six of his. But this is what has to happen at this point. When you don't have a superstar, an all-NBA caliber player in John Wall, other guys have to do things. It would be the same with the Capitals. If Ovi goes out, you see other guys take on greater roles, as has happened in the past when he's been hurt. Same thing with the other teams in town. You lose somebody like Adam Eaton. Who steps up? Turns out it was Michael Taylor. This is what has to happen, especially when you have a guy that's as much counted on as Beal and Porter. Porter, to this point, has been great, by the way. And he's been the guy that's kind of stepped up the most.
He's just the
in
glue to that operation.
He really is. He's just a really nice piece that, so he's not shooting well, still finds a way to help the team win.
As of this morning, the Wizards are the 7th seed in the East, but they're tied with Indiana, the Pacers at 13-11. That's the 8th seed. So they are essentially like a game and a half out of being not in the playoffs right now. Mm-hmm. Above New York and Miami and Charlotte and that group. You've got Boston, clearly the best team in the East. Cleveland has gotten themselves together. They're 17-7.
Have an 11-game winning streak in there.
Toronto's going to be very good.
This is what they are.
Detroit and Philadelphia are both fun to watch, particularly the 76ers who have arrived maybe a little bit before people thought as one of the better teams in the East. And then it's Milwaukee, Washington, and Indiana. They're going to jockey for the back end of the playoff seeding. But until John Wall comes back, the Wizards are just in stay-afloat mode, and hopefully Bradley Beal can be the life preserver. Biggest story in basketball yesterday on a national level was that LiAngelo Ball is leaving UCLA. LiAngelo Ball is Lonzo's little brother. This is the crazy guy's kid. And we don't say his name on the show, remember.
Right.
LiAngelo Ball was caught stealing and shoplifting in China. He was suspended initially and since has not played by UCLA. They basically booted him from the team momentarily until they figure out what they're going to do with these guys who have not yet come back to play basketball. LiAngelo Ball decided yesterday with his father that he was going to leave the program and that he'll get ready for an NBA draft that I just can't envision that he's actually going to get drafted in. We can talk more about that in a minute. But this was LiAngelo Ball yesterday saying that it wasn't really his fault that he stole stuff. His teammates did it, and so he did as well.
We all went out one night, went through the malls, went to a Louis Vuitton store. And people started taking stuff, and then, you know, me just not thinking and being with them, I took something too.
That was on the Today Show yesterday, one of a couple of the things that he said that made the rounds. The other was that he just couldn't wait around. He needs to play basketball, so he wasn't going to stay at UCLA.
Being suspended, that was too long for you to wait?
Yeah, that's the whole season pretty much. And that's just a long time of doing nothing. I'd rather be playing.
So now he'll get ready for the NBA draft.
Yeah, he's not going to the NBA, despite what the loud, bombastic, crazy person who gets at a platform unrealistically will say. He is not Lonzo. Lonzo is a top five caliber draft pick, even though he's having a terrible rookie season, still is a guy that can play in the league.
Let me ask you this, and this is off the beaten path now,
yep.
But is he having a terrible rookie season? Because he can't shoot, but he's still averaging. I looked this up the other night. He's averaging 7 rebounds and 9 assists a game. It's not like he's not anything.
It's fair. It's not like he's lost out
there. I'd say he's having one of the 6 or 7 best rookie seasons in terms of impact on a team.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
He just can't shoot.
Right. Right now, and I mean, he's being outshot by Jason Tatum from 3 compared to Lonzo at the free throw line.
Right.
Give an idea how bad the shooting stroke has become. Yeah. It's a show, and that's clouding everything else. But you're right. I mean, that's why I said, he's the guy that I would have picked first in the draft, because I see a point guard for the new millennium. Now, if he's not ever going to be able to knock down a jumper, then we have a different issue. I think that's going to improve at least somewhat, but goodness gracious, it's a disaster.
But back to LiAngelo, I'm with you. I cannot envision. First of all, he's not getting drafted.
Yeah, this is
I'm confident in that.
This is a college player. I'm speaking to you as one as well. I didn't have much pro prospect. This is a three-star college recruit. The majority of people that play college sports have no chance of going and playing, professional basketball. Now he may be able to catch on in one of these
D league, G league,
just
things.
Okay European leagues where there's a million of them. It's actually a pretty nice life. You could pick one. You could go to Turkey, make $80,000 a year, get your housing paid for, and hang out on a beach and. Deal with guys with a lot of chest hair that smoke cigarettes between quarters.
Hopefully his teammates don't steal anything because then he'll have to, apparently.
You have no choice if they're doing it. But this is not an NBA player. And that's okay. A lot of guys have played basketball and have not made the NBA that were pretty good. He's better than the majority of the population, not an NBA player. Again, this is when you don't just get to be delusional. You don't just get to tell me that what's in my right hand is fertilizer instead of what we know it really is. You don't just get to will things into existence. You're a crazy person. And crazy will come back. People will deal with it as long as you're really good. He's fine, not an NBA player.
Steve Alford, who's the head coach at UCLA, said he wasn't angry, he's just surprised. He said, if you're looking for one word, maybe it's surprised because it's nothing that we saw coming about LiAngelo Ball leaving the program. It's just not that common that when a player does something as bad as steal from a store overseas and they get suspended for it, that them and their dad then decide they're no longer a part of your program.
Yeah, you go out and embarrass the program because this is the thing. You get to travel once every 4 years as a college program. So everybody, if you stay for 4 years, gets to do one special trip once. Remember, Georgetown went to China, got in that brawl in a game, if you remember famously. But everybody gets to do it once every 4 years. It's like your sabbatical. It's your special treat. That's a privilege. You do that and you embarrass everybody and you make a government get involved to get your release, regardless of who you believe who did what. The point is, embassies are involved. Dignitaries are involved that shouldn't have to go through with this are dealing with you who committed a crime in a foreign country. Please don't do that. Please go play basketball and go to the hotel. It's very simple how to behave. The fact that it's now someone else is being blamed for it is outrageous, and now we're going to take him out of the school because it's someone else's fault, and we need to prep him. The lunacy. The lunacy needs to stop. People who are incorrect need to know they're incorrect.
Alford was asked, basically, if he's reached out to LiAngelo or his dad. And he said no. His quote, which I thought was great, was, why? I didn't make the decision, so I'm here. I'm at Pauley Pavilion every day. I'm at the Austin Center every day working. So if they need to talk, they know where to find me, end quote. I kind of love that. Like, no, I'm not going to reach out to them. I'm the coach of UCLA. They're whatever they are, so they can call me if they'd like.
Yeah, I'm not going into their crazy orbit. No, thanks.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Rob Gronkowski suspended one game. So was Juju Smith-Schuster. The exact same suspension for a guy that made a block that may or may not have even been dirty in the middle of a play, and a guy who did something very dirty well after a play. We'll debate whether or not those suspensions being the same is fair next on The Fan.
He shouldn't have stood over him. Sometimes the detail of the hit, the nature of the hit, you look at the video and you coach off the video. Obviously, we don't want to be penalized. We want to play within the rules. We respect player safety. I can assess judgment on the fact that he stood over him, and that's not how we play. That's not reflective of the sportsman that he is, and I'm sure he's sorry for that.
Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin on Juju Smith-Schuster, who got flagged for unnecessary roughness blocking Vontaze Burfict, who didn't see him coming, and additionally stood over top of him and was flagged 15 yards for taunting, which is the one of the two penalties that held up in game. Juju Smith-Schuster yesterday found out he got suspended one game. So did George Aloka, by the way, who's a safety in Cincinnati with the Bengals, who hit Antonio Brown up high, helmet to helmet, in the end zone after a touchdown. So did Rob Gronkowski, who jumped on top of, with his big arm and elbow, to the back of the spine and top of the neck of Tre'Davious White, who was laying out of bounds on top of a football well after a play. I cannot believe that Gronk, after a play,
oh, yeah,
defenseless player not paying any attention because the play is over, laying out of bounds on the sideline, by the way, gets the exact same suspension as a guy who made a block that 5 years ago would have been put on highlight reels as what you're supposed to do.
Would have been applauded.
Juju Smith-Schuster's block on Vontaze Burfict was illegal, by the way, that we are trending now in the NFL. He should have been flagged. He was. He should be fined. No problem. I don't even think that's a suspendable act, to be completely honest with you. He had a chance, if he wanted to go helmet to helmet on Vontaze Burfict. He had a chance to put the crown of his helmet into the face mask of Burfict and blow him in the next week. He didn't do that. He basically went shoulder to the top of the chest right below the helmet. Did he need to do it? No, and that's why it's illegal. That's why we can slap him on the wrist.
Yeah, a 15-yard penalty is what it should have been to me.
Yeah, and would you have been okay with like a $5,000 fine?
Yeah, because you stood over him and you were glad that he was hurt.
Exactly, so and that's what looked worse.
I'll fine the guy. I got no problem with that.
The one-game suspension to me is excessive, but let's just live in a world where he gets a one-game suspension.
I get why, because you're trying to send the message, blah, blah, blah.
Let's go to Iloka next. Same thing.
This one's ridiculous to me.
George Iloka's hit, which was in the end zone after a touchdown.
Trying
the play
to
is
break
over.
Up a touchdown pass.
Correct.
Trying to break up a touchdown.
Trying to break up a pass. Basically, he launches while the play is still going on. He suspended one game. I think that's absurd.
That, to me, is the absurd one. It's more absurd than Gronk getting so little on a cheap shot after the play. This is a touchdown in a one-score game.
Right.
This is the game-tying score, and they're going, oh, what a dirty helmet. He's lunging in desperation in hopes of breaking up a pass.
He definitely only got suspended because this was a Steelers-Bengals game that resulted in a guy still not walking in Cincinnati,
yeah,
Ryan
already
Shazier,
chipping.
And Juju Smith-Schuster getting suspended a game. And they feel like if they suspend Smith-Schuster and not him, it sends a bad message. So he is a victim of circumstance incorrectly. I'm with you. By the way, it's not a lock that he serves that suspension. Smith-Schuster yesterday, after appealing, found out immediately that he lost his appeal.
Mm-hmm. Gronk, too.
Gronk lost his appeal immediately. Iloka's is still pending.
Derek Brooks wanted to sleep on it, according to what Mike Florio just said. So I'm hoping that one gets rescinded.
I could absolutely see a situation where he doesn't serve a suspension. I'm with you. I think of the three, he most should get off. Least deserves to be suspended. Smith-Schuster, second least deserves to be suspended. But in a world where his is worth a game, Gronk's is probably worth three games. And I said earlier this week I'd only suspend Gronk one game. I still think that's the case, by the way. But I wouldn't suspend Juju Smith-Schuster at all. I wouldn't suspend Iloka at all. If you're going to suspend those guys one game, you cannot then also give Gronk only one game. That is outrageous. It's not fair, and it's stupid. Because Gronk, late, on the sideline, completely dirty, completely unnecessary to the game, had nothing to do with football. Iloka breaking up a touchdown pass. Smith-Schuster blocking
hustling
in the middle
the block.
Of a play. There is no comparison between two of these and then the other, and they all got the same penalty.
The term defenseless receiver or defenseless player, right, still refers to something that's happened in action. In other words, during the course of the game, a guy that's looking up at the football, has got his arms extended, his midsection's open, he's, quote, defenseless. And they're trying to get rid of some of those things, right? This is beyond a definition of a defenseless receiver. This is a guy who's lying face down. He's on the ground. This is beyond defenseless. This is something else entirely. If defenseless refers to a person who's running and is in control of their body, right? That's a defenseless player. This is something else entirely. This should be a protected player. I don't know the term for it, but we need something beyond defenseless because that's way too big of an umbrella. This is a guy lying down on the ground who had the brain rattle in his head and bruised. He is concussed based on the dirtiest play since John Runyon speared LeVar Arrington 2 decades ago and I'll never let it go. I can't
believe.
But John
Runyon is at least ruling on this.
Thank goodness that reverse neckbeard has say with somebody who's on the league.
It is insane that
I hate that
he's
guy.
The guy.
He can go right to hell.
I guess it takes one to know one.
He's like, I know what a cheap shot looks like.
Louis Riddick on ESPN. This is a former Redskins executive who's now one of their
who
top
love,
NFL analysts. Discussing whether or not Gronkowski's one-game suspension, Smith-Schuster's and Iloka's one-game suspensions make sense with Tim Hasselbeck.
When you look at the Gronk situation, and you look at the Mike Evans situation, and you see, okay, now you just see the end result, one game for Gronk, one game for George Iloka, one game for Juju Smith-Schuster, how can you not subjectively sit here and say what Gronk did is much worse?
How can you not?
How can you not say that?
I don't think you can. I asked this question yesterday.
So you know what? People, now the next question is going to be, well, how can you give him one game and give Juju Smith-Schuster one game?
That's exactly the question I asked.
How can you make that comparison?
George Iloka one game. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. Juju, like, that's been a point of emphasis big time in terms of these crackback box.
Sure.
It's discussed heavily at the beginning of the year, and it's reinforced. You know, in nearly every game, you can get a hit relatively up high because of the speed in terms of a ball thrown over the middle and a safety going up to make, hey, I think I'm going to make a play on the ball. Now I can't, and now I'm making contact with the guy. So the same punishment for George Iloco and what Gronk did is just patently absurd.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. See, that's the problem that people are going to start having. Like, how are you coming up with this? But the league right now, if you want to change the game while still keeping the game at its base the same, if you want to start disciplining people, you better come up with a better way of being consistent about this, because when you do this where it looks exactly like Tim said, when you're disciplining off the net result and it looks like you're being reactionary, like, let's take the temperature. Let's see what people are saying about this. Are they going to be mad?
Yeah.
Let's hit them. If they're not going to be mad, here's a fine. You can't do that.
Lewis Riddick on ESPN's NFL Live.
Yes.
Well said. David Adams on Twitter. Been a Pats fan for 30 years. I love Gronk. Thought he deserved two, maybe three games with the possibility of reduction upon appeal. Couldn't believe he only got one. I think one is probably fine if Smith-Schuster gets nothing. If Iloka gets nothing. When those guys are being suspended one game, the scale is incorrect. I'm looking at a map here, and it looks the same from my house in Alexandria to the studio as from my house in Alexandria to Dallas. That is the problem.
Yeah, it's
outrageous. You need to legislate. And when you have one guy, why is John Runyon handling one of them and James Thrash is handling something else?
Derek Brooks is doing one.
Exactly. That doesn't make any sense. That's a dumb system. One person should handle all the suspensions for the quote-unquote dirty hits, because they're going to think differently than Derek Brooks, than James Thrash, than John Runyon. It doesn't make any sense. Does anybody think that this works? That Gronkowski one game, Smith-Schuster one game, Iloka one game is fine because messages are being sent. 800-636-1067. What's your reaction to these suspensions? We'll take your calls next on Grant and Danny, 1067 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
No, sir, I do not.
I'll give you a hint. A couple days ago on the show, I said that something had not happened. I asked you if it was a problem. You said, eh, maybe.
Is it of or pertaining to baking?
It is.
Somebody baked for somebody?
Allison baked brownies for me last night.
Brownies?
Brownies.
Oh, no.
I had a very small brownie.
Is that in violation of our treatise?
I did have one very small brownie. I did.
I have an important question.
Yes.
Tom.
Did you have to ask?
Well, I'm glad that you asked, Tommy. We were making and sending our wedding invitations last night, which, by the way, is way more arduous and tenuous a process than I could have ever imagined.
This is my favorite thing about your nuptial process, is everything that you've scoffed at previously and dismissed and not paid attention to as everyone else is talking, you're experiencing and you can't believe it, even though everybody gave you firm heads up. For years.
For some reason, I assumed when I've been thinking I've got to get the wedding invites packaged and sent, that was like an hour and a half long process. Like, if I carved out 60 to 90 minutes, we'd be good. Started yesterday at about 5, went till about 11, still not completely done.
Just paper cuts, blisters,
some
tongue
of the
hurts.
Licking of envelopes, stamps, labels. I mean, there's just all kinds of things happening.
Why does that piece of tissue paper need to be in the envelope? No one ever explained that to me adequately. I was shunned and shot down when I asked.
I was told exactly how to do it. Tissue paper on top, invitation, reception, RSVP, I mean, everything. Put this in this little envelope, then this way. It's got to face this. Got the whole spiel.
I almost had to move out of the...
She said, do you want me to do it? And I said, no, I don't. I want you to do what you're doing already, and I'll do this part, and we'll meet in the middle.
I was almost asked to, like, live elsewhere on the street
right.
when I did it in the wrong sequence for a couple of envelopes that
yeah.
became sealed via glue stick. And you would have thought I was like, okay, again, let's just invade another country, you and me. I mean, it was nuts.
So to answer Thommy's question, as we're doing this last night, I've got Christmas music playing on Alexa. By the way, let me turn on a bunch of people's Alexas. Alexa, play Christmas music. Okay. So I had the Christmas music playing last night. And I said, you know what would really put this night over the top for me? And Allison says, what? I said, I'd like to smell something baking in the house.
Shots fired.
And she had heard the segment already
mm-hmm.
because she'd already told me, like, you know, I bake all the time. I just don't give you the baking. Like, you don't need it. You don't want it. And she's like, well, do we have anything to make? You want to, like, maybe your sister can pick up cookies or something. I said, she probably won't pick it up. So we looked, and we had brownies right there. And we had eggs in the fridge. She said, I'll make brownies. And I said, that's great. Let's do that. So I smelled freshly baked brownies. I ate a small little sliver, which I beat myself up for a couple hours.
Sure.
But you know what? I had to.
Of course you did.
And then I had her. This is the veteran move now. This is the EMP 180 Paulson move. I knew. The old me, by the way, would have eaten half the pan, and I'm not exaggerating. I would have eaten
eggs
half
in
the
there.
Pan. So what I did was I said, you have to take the rest of this
away.
Out of here.
Take it away.
So she took 80% of a sheet of brownies, basically, to her, wherever she was going today, work mm-hmm. or whatever, colleagues, and they'll eat that. But I got my little sliver of brownie. I got to smell the brownies in the house. It was a lovely night.
Squeaky wheel gets the brownie.
Indeed.
That's the old metaphor.
Rob Gronkowski suspended the exact same amount one game as Juju Smith-Schuster. Smith-Schuster throws a block in the middle of a play. Linebacker who could have potentially contributed to a tackle gets blown up. Gronkowski just jumps on a guy he's mad at because he got interfered with and it didn't get called, who just intercepted a pass, who's laying on the sideline. Ridiculous. Want to get your thoughts. Mo and Largo, you're on the fan. What's up, Mo?
Mo.
Hey guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think they absolutely got it wrong. I believe the two hits were finable offenses, and I believe Gronk should have got a minimum of two games. I believe there was a malicious intent. He used his whatever that thing is on his arm as a weapon, because it's not like he hit him with his right elbow. He hit him with his left one. And there was complete malicious intent, and it resulted in the young man getting a concussion.
Concussion.
So at a very minimum, it should have been a two-game. If you want to set up a precedent, that would have been the offense that you should have leaned on, not the two, you know, bang-bang plays that were actually in the field of play. They completely got it wrong, and you're absolutely right. They need to find some type of legislation or a central governing body, the same people that make the same decisions, and stop spreading this amongst whoever they are, because obviously their chain of command is totally out of whack.
Excellent call, Mo.
Call.
In the NHL, they have these situations all the time where something will be evaluated. Was this an illegal blow? What should this guy be suspended for, this boarding, this charging? You always know what's going to happen. Like, for a long time, it was, can't wait for the Brendan Shanahan video to come out to show us exactly what he did.
Yeah.
It's the same person. It's the same office. It's the same dictation.
There's uniformity.
Exactly. The NFL lacks that, which is an egregious problem, number one. But the thing that I like that he mentioned, and this is something Lewis Riddick mentioned when we played the clip from ESPN from NFL Live last segment. Oftentimes, these guys will punish based on the fallout after the fact. And a lot of people don't like that. But had you done that this time, knowing that Tre'Davious White got a concussion, you would think Gronkowski should get more. Like, the fact that we had a carted-off player who didn't return to the game in Vontaze Burfict got Juju Smith-Schuster a game. Well, in that specific case, they punished based on the reaction. But in Gronkowski's, they didn't. I don't like doing that in general. In hockey, they have this thing where on a high stick,
if you bleed,
yeah,
you get more.
If you bleed, it's 4 minutes. If you don't, it's 2 minutes. That's insane to me. That's like the most 1906 way of doing it. Like, how bad is it? Is he gushing blood or is it just dripping?
He lost a tooth, but he's not bleeding, eh? So two minutes, pipe down. Process matters. Let's say, for the sake of argument, the young man from Buffalo, whose name I'm actually forgetting, which is embarrassing, is not concussed.
Tre'Davious White.
Let's say White is not concussed. Does that make the hit any cleaner? Please care about the process. Most said it best. The two words that are most important, malicious intent. Juju Smith-Schuster, as he's sprinting back to make a play, which is a block, which, by the way, helped gain extra yards, did he have to blow Burfict up? Of course not. But he's probably not necessarily thinking, ooh, I've got a chance to blow up a guy that's a cheap shot artist, that's been a pain in the butt that I don't like. He's hustling back to make a play. Same with George Ioka. I'm trying to break up a touchdown pass. And, yeah, I'm going to hit somebody hard doing that. It's natural instinct. Rob Gronkowski went with the intent, I'm mad at you, so you're going to be injured because you can't defend yourself.
That was what he was thinking.
That's why I would have said, you've scoffed at this. I would have started with four games, had his butt plead down to three.
Yeah,
I know exactly how long it is, but that's the kid's now brain damaged because of what you did.
That's a little excessive.
It's what happened. It's excessive.
His brain damaged?
Yes, his brain is damaged. Now, that's why he can't play this week. He's in concussion protocol. It's not I have a bruise. His brain has been hurt because of this cheap shot bullcrap. That's what has to get out of the sport.
I'd have gone with probably a game for Gronk and nothing for the other guys. Chris, Fredericksburg, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
When things like that happen, so that's a non-football play. I've always wondered why they haven't done some sort of contingent suspension where if the guy you hit is out, you're out. I could see that for Gronkowski. I thought Smith-Schuster's hit was straight to the jaw of Burfict, so I was kind of okay with the one game on that one. Gronk should have been at least two, and then I could see plus the contingency.
Yeah, I think we all agree, it sounds like, that Gronk should have gotten more than the other guys no matter what. If they're going to get one, then Gronk needs at least two or maybe three, because it was two or three times worse than what they did. It's a good phone call. Thank you. We appreciate all the calls and the tweets on this. We'll get into some Redskins news and notes next. The latest from Ashburn as the Skins get ready for the L.A. Chargers. Alexa, play 106.7, The Fan. Danny, 106.7, The Fan. First look at the Redskins and the Chargers out in Los Angeles this Sunday, 4:05 kickoff. The smallest stadium, by the way, in the National Football League. If you guys haven't seen a game yet played in L.A., you're in for a
treat.
It's
weird.
It's strange. It feels like, I would say MLS soccer, but those stadiums even are bigger at this point and get more generally full.
It's a soccer stadium.
It is, and that's what it looks like. There's about 25 to 30,000 people if there's a standing room capacity at this place, and very few of them are L.A. Chargers fans. I watched their game this past week against the Cleveland Browns, and there were a ton of people in orange out in L.A., and I think there's going to be a lot of Redskins fans. Look back at that Rams game.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if they live out there or they travel out there, how that works.
It's the worst sports market, man. It's so stupid.
It's so bad, and they've got two NFL teams, but they're playing really well. They have won three straight games. They have won six of their last eight. Their head coach is Anthony Lynn. In his first year, he's doing a real good job, and he's looking ahead to Washington.
Well, you know, it's the NFL. You know, guys get paid to play and show up, and so we expect them to show up and give us their best shot, and they've had three extra days to prepare for it. So, you know, that's a challenge within itself right there. I'm sure they're going to throw some things at us that we hadn't seen, and so I'm looking for this being another tough battle. The only one we're keeping our own right now is watching Redskins, because if we don't win this one, then those other games may not even matter. So I'm just right now just really trying to lock in and focus on these Redskins.
The Chargers, despite starting 0-4, are now tied for the lead in the AFC West. They could win the division.
Yeah, they are. Their two losses, by the way, they've won 6 of 8. At New England, which every team in the NFL right now, they go to New England, they're losing that game.
That was a really good game. It was a one-possession loss. They lost by 8, 21-13, low-scoring game.
And they lost in overtime at Jacksonville. Going across the country to the best defense maybe in the sport.
I think they played an early game that day.
I do believe that is correct. It was a 1 p.m.er, if memory serves. But they lost in overtime. You could have won the game, but you didn't. You had the ball in overtime. Key interception by Phil Rivers. Basically gave the ball to Jacksonville, so they're able to win it. But again, that's a pretty good team. Jacksonville's not great. They're not world beaters, but their 1 o'clock game on the road against the best defense in the sport. Other than that, they've been running through people. This past week against Cleveland was a little strange, but they destroyed Dallas. 28-6 doesn't indicate how just out of proportion that game was.
That was Thanksgiving Day before you watched the Redskins and the Giants. Brown's game was more competitive maybe than it should have been this past week, but you can make the case if you're Jay Gruden coaching up your players that that's going to give them more reason to come out firing at home this week. This is also the second straight week the Redskins are on the road. It's the second straight week LA's at home.
Mm-hmm.
There's a long-time thing for prognosticators and people who make a lot of money picking NFL games that basically teams that play back-to-back road games, that second road game, the winning percentage drops off substantially. I don't know why it is over the years, but it's a thing. Redskins are combating that. You've got Buffalo, who they beat by 30, Dallas, who they beat by 22, and then Cleveland, a double-digit point game for much of the day in their last three wins. Before that, they shut out Denver 21-0, and they kind of saved their season with narrow wins over the Giants and the Raiders on the road way back in early October. But six out of their last eight. The Redskins, meanwhile, are getting ready in Ashburn, and they're trying to get healthier. Jay Gruden's been asked a lot this week about the fact that the playoffs are now a long shot and whether or not he's going to have a hard time motivating his team.
Without a doubt, everybody's disappointed. There's no question. You know, we didn't play very well against Dallas. That's disappointing. But we have the fourth quarter of our season left, and I have a bunch of guys out here that are going to compete, and they're going to play hard no matter what the situation is. And the reason why they're here is because I know they're great competitors. They're going to work hard, and they're going to get themselves ready to play San Diego or L.A. Sorry.
Don't apologize.
It happens to everybody.
Should do a dollar jar this week out in Ashburn when people drop a San Diego. He dropped a San Diego earlier in the week.
Did he really?
As well. Yeah, you told me about it, remember?
Oh, I think I forgot about that.
After we played a cut, we went to break, and you're like, did you notice Jay said San Diego and didn't clean that up? I was like, oh, I didn't even pull that.
Good catch.
So a couple times this week. Not that it matters. Who really cares?
We're going to California, man. Down in the southern part of California. We're going to play a game.
They should still be San Diego, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, by the way, they really should be.
Of course they should.
This is an embarrassment.
Nobody goes to those games, and nobody cares about them.
There should be no football teams in L.A.
The Rams are in their second season in L.A. They're winning. They're going to make the playoffs, and they're still not getting much traction. They're having a hard time getting support. You think the Chargers, who are the D version of the Rams and in their first year, are going to get any love whatsoever? L.A. could have two playoff teams, two division winners this season, and the momentum is nothing.
And people still care about the Lakers, and they're excited about Brandon Ingram's mid-range jumper. It is a terrible sports town, and I hate it. I hate Los Angeles. One of my least favorite places on this planet. The weather's nice, I guess.
How many times have you been to L.A. to hate it so much?
Three times.
Really?
Yeah. Each time worse than the last.
I actually really like L.A.
You would, because the traffic's horrendous, no matter what. And the whole thing is just a
beautiful,
big sprawl.
The weather's great. Now, when I say L.A., I'm not talking about like being at the Staples Center. I'm talking about like the surrounding
You're talking about,
little
like,
areas.
Being in Santa Monica,
exactly.
The beach, which is nice.
Hollywood
yeah, that's
area,
cool.
Going to... Not that I would ever go to Muscle Beach, but whatever that little Venice area is out there, I think that entire area is awesome.
There's some stuff that's fine. The Earth moves. We think people are pretentious here. It's that times a trillion. Everybody's web series is the greatest thing that anyone's ever come up with. Everyone is just a fake bronze. They're jackasses with frosted tips.
You get some
tips.
Of that in New York, though, which you love.
You get a little bit of that in New York, but there is a we're all swimming in the same direction. We're all grinding
Don't
in New York.
Don't you love New York?
Yeah, New York is awesome.
I feel like New York is East Coast Los Angeles.
Not at all. It gets mistaken for that because they're big cities. Here's what New York is. There's Wall Street douchebaggery, and then like the people that are from New York and like really aren't. They're from like Teaneck, but they claim New York. Here's what New York is. We're all here. There's 9 million of us in close proximity. We're just salmon swimming upstream together. We're all grinding. We're all in the same petri dish trying really hard. In L.A., everybody's little sphere is the most important thing ever. Like, my wheatgrass stand is more important than your, you know, hydroxy-cut fake product that I take, this or triple organic vegan pill. The whole thing sucks. The place should just fall off into the ocean. Everyone should have to relocate to understand what life is like everywhere else.
Do you think that in 10 years, both of those teams are going to be in Los Angeles? Because I do not.
I hope not.
I think the Rams will be the team that sticks there, and the Chargers are going to be either back in San Diego or somewhere else.
I hope both those owners have to come up in somehow for what they did to those various markets, holding a fan base and a city hostage. Now, granted, it wasn't like St. Louis was just terrific in terms of their fans, but goodness gracious, they dealt with an awful lot. The idea that you wouldn't get some state-of-the-art nonsense, no one in L.A. cares, but they get enough television revenue that it makes it worth it for that weird mustachioed billionaire. Stan Kroenke. Screw them.
We had a great weekend this weekend, Danny, because the Redskins didn't hurt us, and we got to just sit there and watch football, and you got to watch some of the really good teams in the NFL play. What do they have that the Redskins don't? What is Washington lacking when you watch the NFL's elite? get into that next on Grant and Danny. You're hanging out with us on 106.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.